Welcome to the Path of Power with Galexis, the group of many who speak as one. And here to introduce you to Galexis is the channel, Ginger Metro.
Hello, and welcome to the Path of Power with Galexis. My name is Ginger Metro, and I channel Galexis, who will speak with you today. Galexis is a group of beings from various levels, dimensions, and even planets who speak as one. I've been channeling Galexis since 1988, and they're warm, loving, and caring, and I think you're going to have a wonderful time with Galexis today. Most of Galexis's members have been physical. Some are known as Ascended Masters, and other specialists join the team from time to time. Galexis will start out by discussing a topic they feel is timely, and then they will accept your questions on that topic or any other topic of interest to you. The number to call in on when once Galexis opens the lines is 888-228-4494 if you're in the U.S. or Canada. Check the BBS radio page on Channel 2 for other lines that are available. And for more information on Galexis, don't forget to check out our website, galexisspirit.com. That's GalexisSpirit.com. Now, I'm going to be going into trance now. There's going to be a few moments or a few seconds of silence, and then Galexis will be with you. So goodbye for now, and I'll return at the end of the program. All right, we are here, and we are Galexis, and welcome to all of you who are visiting and listening to us today. We want to start talking about power. After all, this program is the Path of Power. Power is certainly a singular kind of energy. When you have it, you know you have it. If you don't have power readily available to you, you feel powerless. It's obvious. You may feel also tired. You may feel like a victim. You may feel paranoid even. But when you have power, you can step with courage, regardless of your fear, into whatever circumstance that you find yourself. You can deal with your life. You can find ways of making choices that are empowering rather than disempowering. In other words, you can continue a motivation. Through your motivations, you can create a momentum of power and continuing it and expanding it and expanding it. And the more power that you have, the more joyous, the more magical, the more profound your life can be. Now, power is an ability to act on your own choices and your own way of being. Power is a capacity to express yourself from the position of honoring, knowing, loving, and caring for yourself, valuing yourself, and the specific temperament or quality of being that you are. By temperament or quality, we mean that some people are very passionate and high energy. Now, many times in your culture, these people are seen as the most successful ones. But not all of you have that temperament. Many of you have quiet, deep, beautiful temperaments. Others of you are very spirited and just love connecting with people. Others have a very creative kind of surging of energy, like sometimes you're energetic and other times you want absolute peace and quiet. You have different ways of moving your energy, different ways of expressing your life. And as you honor and respect that, your power, your ability to act based on who you are and to make your choices and decisions based on who you feel yourself to be and what you desire, will become more apparent, will become easier to do. Now, power also manifests itself in energy. If you feel very vital and very strong and feel secure and confident, you're feeling your power. Power doesn't mean that you have to take anybody else's power away. Power doesn't mean that you control or manipulate or dominate or have the capacity to mistreat other people. A lot of times power is wrongfully used to describe somebody who can manipulate better than others. Oh, he's very powerful. He can make people hop too. He can get people to do all sorts of things. You know, head of the mafia. Yes, very powerful. He can get some people to go out and shoot other people. But that's not the real power we're talking about. We're talking about your personal power. It's part of your divine right as the being that of light that you are, as the powerful reality creator that you are. And as you own this and claim this, you'll find that your reality gives you your strength, your reality, which is the illusion that you create, that you play with in this field or arena you call life, can actually give you energy rather than drain it from you. And you don't have to take it from other people. You don't have to work it away from other people or grab it from other people. It comes to you. It is yours. Everything that you create is created by energy held into place in a particular type of matrix under a particular design of frequencies. And you are working with these tremendous amounts of energy you use to create and hold into place realities that you live in. You are indeed a powerful person. And any time you find yourself giving your power away to someone else, letting them, in a sense, run your life, letting them be a point of reference around which you revolve, around which you live, and the way you look at your life, know that you can always take that power back. You're not taking it away from them. It's your power that you gave to them, that you think they've got to have. If anyone can make you feel guilty, you have given them your power. If anyone can make you do things you don't want to do, you've given them your power of choice. So, dear ones, take this opportunity today and take your power back from anyone or any life circumstance or any place on any dimension in any way, shape, or form where you have given power away. Let that energy return to you that is rightfully yours. Claim power. Return to me. You can do it in a situation as simple as a traffic jam. Sometimes people get really agitated when there's traffic is all backed up and they can't get where they want to go. They get impatient, they get hostile, they get angry, they get furious, and finally recognizing that they can't move the traffic around and push people away, they get resigned. Then they feel powerless. They feel rage. They feel that they're having their will submitted to this intolerable situation. Now, not everyone goes to that extreme, but in a circumstance like that, if you find yourself in a traffic jam, practice it. Instead of getting frustrated, instead of getting fuming and criticizing other drivers as your kind of vent or escape release from your frustration, first say, all right, I'm giving my power away to the traffic. I'm giving my power away to time and feeling the scarcity of time. Power, return to me. Power, return to me. Claim it. Own it. Whatever circumstance you find in a relationship, in a business situation, with money, with health, don't give your power away to doctors. Work with them as a team member, but don't let them take your power. Don't let any authority take your power. You don't need to rebel. Just simply work with any authority as a co-member of team. Work as an equal Remember, you are a divine light being who is incarnated in a physical body. And it is your opportunity to enjoy your power. Because as you feel power, and as you, of course, always want more of that wonderful, juicy stuff called power, as you build it, as you play with it, as you learn its ways, you'll find your life becoming much more magical, filled with much more adventure and wonderful positive openings leading directly to those things that you desire to experience. Power is indeed wondrous. A path of power is a divine path of yourself. So we're going to open up the phone lines now. If you'd like to talk with us, please feel free to give us a call. Again, the number is 888-228-4494. And as you're calling in, we want to remind you that any time that you don't acknowledge the amount of power that you have, you're also forgetting who you are. You're forgetting your mission. Your mission here to know who you are, to remember who you are, to put all the pieces of yourself back together so that you, once you work with this illusion, once you work with this physical plane, and once you step into that mastery, then you can start putting your attention into things that are more real, things that are greater, that are those things that exist beyond the physical plane. The ultimate drive, the ultimate yearning of every soul is to know themselves and to know the divine. That indeed is the future of your path of power. The future of your path of power will never be domination, forcing of other people or of other realities, making things fit, pushing things through, getting things done. That's not power. Power will be things being part of your flow the way they can align best with who you are, opening to your joy and opening to your capacity to be more of who you are, to claim more of who you are, and be the light being that you indeed are. All right. So far, no one has seemed to call in, so we're going to perhaps move to another topic until anyone who wishes to call in may do so. All right, so just to repeat, if you want to call in and ask us a question on any topic, this or anything of any concern to yours, of yours, it is 888-228-4494. All right, some of the things we want to talk about at this particular time on the planet. There's a great deal of topic and talk about ascension. What is ascension? Technically speaking, ascension was put together as a concept by people who were hoping that they could achieve a certain spiritual mastery that would enable them to work multidimensionally. All right, just a moment. Multidimensionally, while yet holding the consciousness of the physical body. And we want to just clarify this before we take this call, and that is, ascension is really about owning who you are, identifying, knowing who you are and stepping into that, and then wherever you choose to be, on the physical plane or whatever dimension, whatever plane you want to work, you can work on it. And you can choose to move from the physical to another plane and then come back to your body just as effortlessly as you go to bed at night and go to sleep, and in the morning you wake up and voila, there you are in your body. Ascension doesn't necessarily require death, nor does it require that you leave the physical plane with a physical body. All right, so let's take our first caller then. Hello?
Yes. Hi, this is Elizabeth.
Hello, Elizabeth. Glad to speak with you.
Thank you. I'm a little confused because I'm hearing a different discussion on the...
Right. The time between our speaking on the is about a minute, so maybe you want to turn that volume down.
Okay, super.
There you go.
I wanted to ask you a question about, and you're speaking of it well right now in terms of reclaiming your power, but I just wanted to ask the question, I'm trying to reconnect with myself, and as in any way that I can, and so my process has been to just visualize kind of the truer part of myself and go back to it as frequently as I can.
Mm-hmm.
And there's been many opportunities, you know, lots of disturbances, and but that's just things coming up, in which I appreciate. So I just wanted to get your insight and see if you had any advice as I'm kind of recollecting myself. And, you know, there's a lot of various parties inside that want to kind of step in and have the floor, and I'm trying to be the spiritual adult.
Yes.
And have that be the aspect of me, my truer self, and have that be the aspect of me that is, that I'm in touch with and feeling and operating from.
Very good, yes. Thank you for that question. Yes, it's quite an interesting challenge to be the spiritual adult. It requires quite a willingness to be present with yourself and to stay aware. And you notice that as you keep reminding yourself of who you are, as you keep coming back to that point of reference, that the more frequently that you do it, the more aware that you are in the moment of what you're thinking and what you're feeling and what you're doing. Yes?
Yes.
You see, that the general progression is to become conscious and aware pretty much continuously. Now, to be able to rectify or to resolve or to bring into harmony the various pieces and parts of yourself require a certain delicacy. We know a lot about that because we're a group and we come together and we speak as one. And it requires us entering into a sense of combined harmony. Now, to bring all the parts of yourself into harmony will enable you to feel that union that is at the core of your soul, that's the core of who you are, of your identity on a very high spiritual level. Because you see, as a spark of consciousness, you are unique, and you are a very specific spark of the body of God, Goddess, all that is. And so you have a unique collection of pieces. No one else has your combination. To bring them into harmony, you want to bring them to a round table, to let them all have their say and to respect each one of them. If a part of you wishes to play a game like a child or like an adolescent in high school, wants to play a little game and maybe do a little manipulative dance or hide something from somebody or something of that nature, in a very gentle way, the part of you who is conscious, who is intent on remembering who she is the one who is the moderator, perhaps, of the group, would be the one who would come in and say, all right, now, there's a part of you that is beautiful, that belongs to the whole. There's a part I want to integrate of you. However, we want you to come, all the other parts of us, to work together. You need to come into synchronicity. And you're not being synchronous because you're wanting not to be on the same playing field. You want to go and play like a child or play like an adolescent. And so let's go and look at, you know, what your motivation is. What's your agenda? What do you want to get out of that? What are you seeking? What are you looking for? And generally, if you ask this question of any internal part that seems to be at odds of the others within you, you'll find that what they're seeking has to do a resolution that has to do with love and value. It will always come down to love and value. That part wants to be valued. Maybe that part feels like it's going to act out because it hasn't been heard. So you listen to it without judgment. It's important to listen to all parts of you without judgment, because if you judge them, then they're going to rebel. Then there's going to be more conflict within all your sub-personality pieces, so to speak. So maybe you might want to do what the people who are in NLP or neuro-linguistic programming used to call a parts party. That means all the different parts of you come together for a party and talk. And in a sense, if you recognize that the part of you who is looking to be really who you are, to own your spiritual highest level of self, is the moderator, you won't get lost, you won't get distracted, you won't get discounted by the other parts, you won't get lost in the conflicts or in the mess that could ensue as various parts conflict with others, competing with others even, if you will. But you want to hold the power, you want to hold the resonance that this meeting, this alignment, is all about holding that beauty, holding that resonance, holding that frequency of light. And as soon as you do that, then you see what everyone is after, what all these parts want. And then you can give them what these parts want to them in a subjective format. In other words, you can visualize the part as an individual with its own body form. You can personify it. And then you can give it its ideal reality. You can bring that, or you can bring that part to yourself and hold it to you and say, thank you for your contribution, let's say. Thank you for what you're saying. Thank you for giving me the awareness of some of what's going on down deep inside myself. I see you're seeking for union. I understand and I feel you're seeking for clarity and understanding. And I embrace you. Now, a lot of times when you hear a part, that part will feel just uplifted. It will lift beyond that conflict. It will no longer see the need for the conflict. And you can embrace it to yourself and let it merge with you. So that's one thing you can do as far as a visualization or a meditative technique. If there is something that you cannot understand about a part, a piece of you that is just adamant about being in fear, say, that just still wants to worry, still wants to agitate about something that just doesn't seem to have power about, then you give that self a taste of its power. Bring it to yourself. Personify it. Bring it to yourself. And infuse it with power. Infuse it with your power that you've recognized, gifting it to another part of yourself, so to speak. Let yourself see, what would it feel like if you had that power? What would it do to the fear? What would it do to the image? How would the future look different? And so you can play with it in that regard, if that makes any sense to you. Does that?
It does. Thank you.
All right. Because you see, every time you resolve a part, and it's not like it's going to be resolved forever, that part may come up again with some kind of conflict or some kind of issue. It may be a more rambunctious part. See, you have some parts that are by nature more energetic, just like there's more some people who are more energetic, and then there's some people who are very quiet, very deep, and very thoughtful. And so some parts of your parts of yourself are that way. So as you acknowledge that these are all fantastic, they all have messages for you, and without any judgment, you listen to them, they will let go of their negative sides, because very often they only carry that in order to attract attention to themselves. How many times have you seen a child, you know, act up just to get attention, just to get love, which comes in the form of attention? So sometimes when you do that for yourself, it's one of the most self-loving acts that you can do, holding yourself, loving yourself. And the most important thing is merging with yourself. You understand?
Yes.
All right. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. No, that's extremely helpful.
Because we know you personally, we know that you're very capable of being able to distinguish certain frequencies within yourself. And that's quite a gift that you have. Sometimes you don't feel like you have the time to do it. So you put pressure on yourself about it.
That was just exactly what I thought. Well, I'm not going to mention that part, but that's exactly what I was.
Well, you might want to check the self that is really believes in time scarcity.
Yeah.
That's afraid that she's never going to have enough time, that she's always going to be overloaded, overwhelmed, overworked, and she'll never have enough time.
Yeah.
You'll find that one. And find that what she's really looking for, in a sense, is she's looking for peace. She's looking for love. And embrace her to yourself and saying, I love you too, you see.
Okay.
Now, what would your life be like if you didn't have to think about time issues?
Yes. It would be great.
Wouldn't that be fun? All right, here's what we would suggest. That just for you to be able to get a taste of it, is that set aside a day, probably on a weekend or something like that where you don't have a dozen other things planned, and set aside a day or maybe just an afternoon in which you just open up a block of time and say, this is a time in which I'm going to do nothing but what I feel inspired to do in the moment. Now, most people feel very guilty about doing this. And the reason we say that is because, okay, they say, oh, that sounds like a cute idea. And maybe they even come up, okay, at 2 p.m. on Saturday, from 2 to 5 p.m., I'm going to give myself a three-hour block where I'm just going to do nothing if I want to and do whatever I want to do and so on. And as the 2 o'clock approaches, urgent things start coming in. No, I've got to handle this. I've got to postpone this time to some other time, you see. So watch for things like that, because that's your ego saying, no, 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 don't get out of the box. Don't transcend time scarcity. You have to operate with time scarcity. That's the belief of the consensus reality. That's just the way it is. And you can recognize that as a belief system about it. And so what it will do is, because your time scarcity that you're going to face, you're going to bring it up in the form of kind of urgency. Somebody says, I really need that right now. Could you please call so-and-so right now? I've got to come over right now. That type of thing can happen right there at 2 p.m. just as you're getting ready to do nothing. You understand?
Yes. Yeah.
Or if you actually get into that time space that you give yourself, you'll get in there, and after about half an hour you say, oh, you know, I can't really take this time because I forgot I had to do this project before tomorrow, and I'm just nowhere near doing it, and there's no way I'm going to be able to do it tonight. I'm going to have to do it this. I'm going to have to stop everything and do it this afternoon. And that type of thing can happen too. Recognize if you feel you have to do it, but hear yourself what you're doing. Watch how you fall for it, how the fear grips you, how you feel the pressure. Recognize how you let time, you know, shape you and imprison you, you see. And try it again. Eventually, you will have to insist, no, I will not stop. I'm putting this three-hour block together. I will not stop. I will turn off the phone. I will not stop and do this project. And when you do that, you will start to break the pattern. You will start to realize that you take the time to be yourself. You're going to hear all the reasons why not. Your mind will yakky, yakky, yak. What do you think you're doing? You'll feel lost. Maybe you won't have a clue what to do. Maybe you will have absolutely no motivation. Okay, well then lie down. Go to sleep. You know, whatever. You know, we just don't recommend doing what we call a numbing out process. Because what you want to do is stay aware and stay present with yourself. Stay present with whatever it is you want to do. Oh, you want to get up and go to the kitchen and get a glass of water? Great. Do it. All right? If that's not the case, then as you are in this space, you know, watch that maybe you think, oh, I really should do something. Oh, that's a should. Oh, okay. Give yourself permission not to do it. There are going to be a point at which you're just going to feel kind of blank, maybe even lost. I don't know what I want to do. This feels very scary. I don't know how to take a break. I don't know how to really relax and do nothing. I don't even know how to do this. But you see, everyone, if you learn how to do that, even if you practice it on a three-hour block on a Saturday afternoon or something, just by that very practice, you get in touch with yourself on another level. It's an act of self-love. It's an act of power. And you will find coming out of that, that you will learn so much about yourself, and at the same time, you very likely will feel refreshed and more invigorated. You understand?
Yes.
So we would highly recommend that for you. And anyone else who is listening in, who has an issue with time, give it a shot. Explore this. Find out what it is that you keep telling yourself about why you don't have the time and how you can't take the time just to be with yourself, just to hang with yourself. If you remember when you were a child, there were times when you just did that. You just maybe looked out a window and daydreamed. Now, admittedly, some of you had parents that were saying, hey, what are you doing? You've got a lot of things to do. You need to do things. But nevertheless, in childhood, there were moments where you got to experience that total freedom from duty and obligation, the total freedom of worrying about what has to be done, getting everything done on deadline. So we highly recommend that you just give that a shot and play with that, and that your time scarcity self, the one who feels imprisoned by time and is adamant about scaring all the other parts of yourself into, you know, pushing and driving and getting things done, watch what that self has to say. Watch what happens to that self. Because if you take that three-hour block and you have that project, you say, no, I'll do the project tonight. It may not get done by tomorrow, but I'm just going to do the best I can. You may be surprised at how elegantly it gets done in less time. And that's when you begin to discover the magic of time occurs when you make choice about what you prioritize in your time. Time will work for you rather than you being a slave to time. All right?
That's really so helpful. Thank you.
You're very welcome, dear one. And we'll take another caller. And so you recognize that as you play with this, as you get freer and freer of time, you begin to realize that the process that you do of achievement, accomplishments, and getting all those little things done, and all the errands, and the little homework done, and all the business work done, and getting the gas in your car, and et cetera, all these things will kind of begin to flow more easily. There'll be a sense of more elegance. There'll be a sense of realizing that you're spending maybe not necessarily that much less time with it, but you're less frazzled. There's no resistance. It just seems to be easier. And what happens is that when you choose to make time for something, you don't get the interference. See, right, until you get to a certain point, every time you try to deliberately focus your time, you're going to get interferences. And so sometimes, like, for example, one of the teachers that the channel had, the one who channels us had, I used to say, you know, life is a series of interruptions. That's a person who's living, you know, pulled this way and that way and the other way by time. All right, is there someone on the line?
Yes, there is.
All right. So let's, hello?
Hello? Yeah. Can you hear
hello?
Me?
Hello? Yes.
It's Falcon.
Well, hello, Falco. What a pleasure to speak with you again.
Well, hello, and thank you.
You're welcome.
I have a question to you regarding worth. I'm sort of coming out of at least a month feeling very low energy, not in my power. Mm-hmm. Then I did a workshop here over the weekend, and before the last meditation, I suddenly had this moment where I felt feeling very distinctly, and then, you know, as it sometimes happens for me, there's this like almost a neon sign on top that says, this is, and in this case, lack of self-worth. It was a very painful feeling, and I recognized that I have had that feeling a lot, and I have never really identified it before, and that the whole issue of self-worth suddenly seemed very elusive to me.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, it was also very encouraging because at least I knew with this feeling what I'm up against here.
Yes.
So I started to ask for help in terms of working with it. Then a couple of evenings ago, I'm sitting watching a movie, and suddenly this moment just, it was like the question entered my mind, and again, moment opens up.
Yes.
And suddenly I felt this feeling, I am valuable to the goddess.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was a beautiful, beautiful moment and a tremendous relief to me.
All right.
And I felt how this is connected to worth. But
yes.
These things have been very elusive to me. Now what I did was I actually did the meditation you recommended to Connie, and I understand you might be putting it on your website. But I did that meditation and I entered a pool of worth. And
yes.
I put little stickers up around in my room here. And today I did suddenly start, my energy has started to pick up.
Good.
But I wonder if you can talk a little bit about being enough.
All
worth
right.
And value.
All
because
right.
All, I mean, they're distinctly different to me, but even so, you know, they all sort of merge in some
yes,
way.
Yes, yes, absolutely. All right, as we begin, first of all, we just want to thank Elizabeth for her question and appreciate that very much, and because it was a very valuable question. It led beautifully into this one, in fact. And so what we like to talk about here is that the pinions that hold or the structure or the foundation that you are taught in of your emotional body that you're entrained into from the time that you were an infant, indeed in the womb, and even indeed imprints that came with you through your DNA from your family and generations back, have all kind of predisposed you to low feelings of self-worth and feelings of not enough and feelings of somehow inadequacies and feelings of lack of confidence and a lack of personal power. This is, of course, part of the aspect of the consensus that you have come, you Falker, and as part of a beautiful network of light beings who have chosen to come onto this planet at this time to work specifically with healing. Because until this is healed, you don't recognize and be able to hold the connection the way that you came to with the light of God, Goddess, all that is, and to bring the divinity into your life, to make your life whole and complete and filled and rich, just the way that you intended when you came to this learning ground, to this playground known as the physical plane. So the pinions of it, though, are centered in the lack of knowledge of who you are. When you come into the physical plane, one of the requirements of coming into this earth experience is for you to forget who you are. Everyone who comes here at some point has to forget, because the process that you came here to explore was the process of remembering, healing, changing, and opening up the consciousness on the planet. And as we have found the saying, if you have a design to move energies and to grow from darkness into light, you must first enter the darkness to and then move from there to the light to create a pathway that others may follow. And even though you personally may not be out there doing seminars and workshops, just by the fact that you're making a new template, that you're blazing this trail to self-worth, to value, to ownership of who you are, means that you're making a difference in the illusion that you've created, which is your world. So the foundation of it is to remember who you are. The ultimate act of forgetting is installed in you very often by age 2 or 3, and that is the energy of shame. The energy of shame basically says there's something wrong with you, you're flawed, you are not divine by your nature, you're a mistake of God, you're just a pile of crap. You're not worth anything. And if you think you're worth something, that's just your ego, and your ego is going to have a big downfall. You'll see. There's no way that you can be so uppity and be so, you know, egotistical as to claim your value and your worth. Yeah, right. yeah, you're just another, you know, weak human being who's vulnerable to all sorts of inadequacies and difficulties and probably is going to screw everything up. And so while this is such a heavy message, it came in so early for everyone that it got installed deep into the unconscious mind. It got installed deep into the emotional body. Always continuously sending up resonance, kind of like bubbles from deep underneath a pond, sending up the resonance, sending up the message that no matter how great it appears on the surface, no matter how far you get in your life, there's always going to be some kind of scary little inadequacy, some kind of stupidity, some kind of something you're going to do wrong that's going to betray who you really are. That schmuck, that stupid idiot that you really are down there. And the consensus reality programs us in as if they're throwing you in a closet with it, locking the door and throwing the key away. It is supposedly, by consensus reality or mainstream thinking standards, it's fail-safe reality. That's just the way it is. And so, of course, you spend your life trying to hide that so nobody else sees it, so that they will judge you, so that you can maybe operate outside of a lot of judgment. So that gets you into a place of trying to show people who you are, trying to please people or trying to impress people or that kind of thing in that dynamic. Now, we know you personally have done tremendous processing on that. And what you have been doing this past month and what you've done indeed this past weekend is make a big jump on this to recognize that you are beloved by the goddess, that the goddess loves you. For you to be able to plug into the goddess, for you to be able to open up to the fact that the goddess loves you. In fact, the goddess loves everyone completely, wholly, and totally. When you recognize something like that, dear one, you have stepped beyond shame. You understand that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't have the shame. When you don't have the shame resonating underneath there, then you can acknowledge your worth and your value. It comes, in a sense, almost effortlessly. Because once you've got that you are loved by the total height of the divine, then you can acknowledge, hey, you know, I'm a piece of that. I am part of that. I am worth, if the goddess loves me, I must be worth loving. If I can feel this love, I must be able to receive love. Therefore, I must be lovable. You see?
Yeah.
So to allow yourself this experience is to allow yourself to get the total acknowledgement and understanding of what it means and how it feels to be outside the box shame that your culture has given you. Right? Can you take this energy now, Falker? Can you let that be really, truly real for you?
Yeah. I mean, that's what I understood. That this is something, you know, I want to try to hold on to this feeling.
Yeah.
Or integrate it. So that's why I followed it up with doing that meditation. And
yes.
I put little stickers up around my house at this point.
Good. Stickers have the messages to keep reminding your subconscious, so your subconscious gets retrained into, it's kind of like self-hypnosis. All those little stickers, every time you read them, every time you see them, once you've read them a few times, your subconscious just automatically is gathering the message, is getting the information, is figuring it out, you see, and
yeah.
reminding your unconscious. Hey, look, unconscious, we understand you got implanted with this big shame piece, but look at this, look at this, look at this, think about this, look at this possibility, look at this, look at this. Continuously reminding the unconscious as well about this unconscious mind that holds this reservoir of the collective. Realize, unconscious mind, that there is an exception to that. Realize that it isn't always like that. Realize, unconscious mind, that somewhere in the collective there is a place that acknowledges the divinity. Because there is. There's a place in your unconscious mind that knows just who you are and how powerfully conscious you can be. And so every time you look at a sticker, it connects resonance-wise. It connects frequency-like, like a little electrical wire. Goes right to the part of your unconscious mind and says, this we are reinforcing now. So that's an excellent technique to do. We remind the listeners of what's going on here in the sense that if you want to create a change in your subconscious and in your unconscious minds, a la self-hypnosis, you can put the message you want to own, that which you want to claim about yourself. You write it on little post-it notes or whatever and just put them all over your apartment or home and places that you can see so that you read them during the day so that it keeps reminding you. It's like having someone come and remind you all the time. Hey, you know, you're a pretty great, you know, light being. You're a beautiful light being. Hello, you're a beautiful light being. Hello, you're valuable. If you hear something enough, you tend to believe it. You know, look at all the media on your planet. It's advertising is based on repetition, you know, makes people believe it's true. And they can sell all sorts of strange, you know, medicinal drugs that do all sorts of crazy side effects because they will keep telling people the positives that they do. And even though people hear the side effects, after they say it so many times that this person says, I'm free because I take this drug, I feel so much better because I take this drug, after a while people believe it. And then they go say, okay, when the advertisement says, well, ask your doctor about this drug, they'll go and ask their doctor. You're doing the same thing with your subconscious. Now, Falker, you're referring to a meditation that I shared with Connie. We're just going to share it very briefly here with the listeners, and that is to go in meditation to a place where you feel is totally safe to be with your higher self, that part of you who knows who you are and is holding the fullness of your resonance and the fullness of your light and knowing and in your wholeness and your union of all your parts. And you and your higher self, in that safety, in that zone of safety, find a beautiful lagoon. And you go into the lagoon together. And this lagoon is the lagoon of enough. The energies of enough. All right? The energies of value. The energies, whatever energies that you wish to encourage within yourself. If let's say, you feel unsafe at some point. You can always go into your safe place, and even if you don't quite fully get the safety of the safe place, you go into the lagoon and drench yourself with it. You'll start getting the energies of safety, and you'll retrain your body, your subconscious, and your unconscious as to what it feels like. You're educating as to what safety feels like, or what value feels like, or what love feels like, or what nurturing feels like, or enough. That you know, so many people labor all their lives never feeling like they're good enough, never feeling like they can do enough and achieve enough, and that people can love them enough, or that they will ever be able to be loved enough, or ever love anyone else and care enough, et cetera, et cetera. And going into the lagoon of enough, and you really kind of get that what you're thinking of is enough, and you define that as it's more than what the consensus reality can even imagine. You're out of the bunk now when you go to that lagoon, and you can drench yourself in that lagoon and fill yourself up with that lagoon. All right, so for you, Falker, when you do that, you're also pulling into yourself your power. You're feeling more powerful now.
Yes, this happened this morning.
Whole.
Yes, I realized it. Yeah.
Yes, you're feeling more whole. You're not separated out into pieces. You know, it's like Elizabeth talked about, all these pieces are in there. And when you feel pieced out, you don't really hold as much power of your energy, of the vital force and the vital power that you have. And so sometimes when you're fragmented out, it will show itself to you, your reality and your body and everything will always mirror this. It will show it to you in a lack of energy or lack of motivation. You see?
Yeah.
All right.
So
that's one of the ways that you can tell, one of the ways that you can get the feedback. Hey, wait a minute, I need to go and claim some piece of myself. I'm fragmented. Now, sometimes we can also suggest, and for all of you listening, about if you feel fragmented, if you feel like you're all split up into various pieces, and so forth, we would recommend that that you essentially, all right, need to pull yourself together. Now, a lot of people use that term and say, pull yourself together, meaning, you know, discipline yourself, beat yourself into a, you know, to make yourself, force yourself, you know, whip yourself into it, you know. And so we'd like to make mention that that's not what it's about at all. Pulling yourself together can be, in a sense, a meditation or visualization where you say, I call now all my fragments to return to me. And feel pieces come into you and into the center core of your body, in that channel between your third eye, your crown, all the way down to your root. There's a channel that goes through the center of your body, the sukvana, the central energy channel that all your chakras connect to. Feel all the fragment pieces just coming in into that, and it begins to get brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter, and the central energy channel begins to glow stronger and stronger and stronger, and then it gets richer and fuller and has more substance, and it expands and gets brighter, and so until it's like 3-4 times the size, and these pieces have come in and merged with you. Call the pieces of your power in. Call the pieces of all your light in. Call your talents, gifts, strengths, and attributes. Call them into you. And if you do something like that, sometimes you can bring physical energy into you just in a matter of moments. And you can get centered. And then once you're centered, you ground. And that grounding is connecting by light from your root chakra and your feet down to the core of the center of the earth with gratitude to the Mother Earth for all she has given you. And then connecting from your crown chakra all the way up to Source, to Higher Self, thanking them for all that they can give you. And then from there, grounded above and below and centered and in one net, then you have now come into your own and much more in your fullness, in your wholeness, and now claiming who you are, you can go about living your life with a great deal of more magic in the moment, right? So thank you, dear one, for asking the questions, and we're delighted with your progress. And thank you, both of you, for asking these questions. Thank you very much. We must go, and we have enjoyed speaking to all of you out there in Radio Land. And we invite you to listen to our show once again. Next time it is on, it's going to be on Monday. That's basically 12 days from now. And so we look forward to listening to you then. And so farewell for now with love and light. And hi, and this is Ginger, and I'm back, and I want to thank you all for being with us this day on the Path of Power, and I just want to remind you, if you want to know more about Galexis and get on the Galexis mailing list or know more about the radio show next time, just please go to your internet and go to galexisspirit.com. So if you would, galexisspirit.com, Galexis Spirit. And so I thank you, and it's been a pleasure. And I just want to let you know that the show is moving to Monday as of next time. And so you get in touch at 6 p.m. Pacific time, not this coming Monday, but the Monday following. And so we look forward to being with you then. And so thank you so much for joining us, and I'm saying goodbye until next time. So long.